It is not from the pilgrims. It began before that. It is from the worship of the Greek goddess of agriculture. The origin of it is shirk and kufr. Wallahu musta'an.
JazakAllah khair. Let me, if you don't mind, take the, some of the written questions, inshallah. Starting to feel guilty. The first question, JazakAllah khair. Inshallah, it states here, what do you have to say to those who say we shouldn't talk about other groups because it should cause division or bring about division? That we should be trying to unify, or should try to be about unification or unifying the Muslims or solidifying the Muslims.
We'd like to say to them that the separation has already been done by those people whom we're talking about. It's not we who are trying to follow the Quran and the Sunnah on the way of the Salaf al-Saleh who are making the divisions. The people who have let go of the whole handle that never breaks, they're the ones that are making the division. How can you call the people who want to hold on to the Quran and Sunnah causing division? No, the people that want to go to these different groups, they're causing the division by not holding on to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For instance, when you bring them an ayah and you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet explained this ayah this way, or you bring them a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Bukhari or Muslim or Abu Dawud or whatever, and you say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed this way, fasted this way, made hajj this way. He didn't do this. He didn't go around the Kaaba with the Kaaba on his right side, as you see some Muslims doing. Wallahi, go to the Kaaba. You see Muslims going around, it's rare, but you see it. Going around the Kaaba with the Kaaba on their right side. And then when they finish making the tawaf, you see them doing this. Here's the Kaaba. Excuse me. Every time they put all these things on me, like yesterday for Juma, all these microphones, I felt like I was in ICU or something. You see them in the Kaaba's right here. And after they finish going around, they walk backwards. Because they've been told by their kids that you can't disrespect the Kaaba and turn your back on it. So we say to them, where do you get this from? Where do you get this from? This is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't have this as an example from the Sahaba. And then they claim, because we reject that, because we reject these innovations, and sometimes this kufr, they say now, we're causing a division. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to make a distinction. وستفترق هذه الأمة إلى 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. That this Ummah is going to be divided into 73 sects. All of them are going to be in the hellfire. All of them. Except one. And he told us who they were. So those people are the ones that divided and separated. We're not making division. And there should be no unity for the sake of unity. The unity should be for the sake of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are not making the division. And we have to call a spade a spade. We have to call a spade a spade. We can't allow people to continue to lie on Allah and then say we want to be unified with them. Brothers, inshallah, please understand what I'm about to say. I'm a former member of the so-called Nation of Islam. I'm a former member of the so-called Nation of Islam. And for those of you who are former members, some of you, I can see your faces. I know you. We were members of the so-called Nation of Islam. All right? And we know what Louis Farrakhan teaches and what his leader before him, Elijah Muhammad, teaches. When he set up that million Mushrik man march a few years ago, all these black men coming together, right? Even some Muslims involved themselves in it. Am I supposed to hang out with them and join them simply because they're black? Likewise, brothers, we're not supposed to have unity with Muslims just because they're Muslim. No, we have to make the wrong clear. It's imperative that we make the wrong clear. We can't have the attitude, I'm okay, you're okay. We can't have that attitude. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people did things in his presence, he corrected it. When the man said, Insha'Allah, wa in shitta, If it be the will of Allah and your will, O Messenger of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what, you trying to make me a god with Allah? No, what you should say is, inshallah, thumma shitta. If it be of the will of Allah, then your will. Not if it be of the will of Allah and your will. You trying to make a god out of me? You trying to put me with Allah? The Prophet didn't let that man just, okay, it's okay. What you said, you didn't really mean it. He knew the man didn't mean it. It was a slip of the tongue. But he still corrected him. He still corrected him. And we have a lot of examples like that. The pagan Arabs, they used to have this tree. They used to hang their weapons on, thinking that the tree would invigorate and give vitality to their weapons. So the companions, in their misunderstanding, they said, oh, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can you give us a tree too? Give us a tree too so we can put our weapons on them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't let that slide. He corrected it. When Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, came from Yemen to give da'wah to the Ahl al-Kitab, the first thing he did when he got back to Medina, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made sajda to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He made sajda, not figuratively, literally. The Prophet said, "Mama tasna, mama taf'al, what are you doing?" He said, "O Messenger of Allah, I've just returned from Yemen. I saw those Christians, they were making sajda to their bishops, to their cardinals, to their priests, and you have more right to his understanding? You have more right than they do." He said, "If I were to command anyone to bow down to anyone, I would have commanded the women to bow down to their husbands." He corrected them, told them, "Don't do that." So we're supposed to allow Muslims to just take these sheets, white sheets, and put them on the floor and get in a circle and say, "Oh, Allah. And say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's soul is coming in the middle of the sheet in their zikr circle and not saying anything? You want to have unity with somebody like that? We can't have unity with people like this. Yes, they're Muslims. They're not Kafirs. But we have to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. We can't have unity with people like that. If that were the case, I would have stayed with the nation. I would have stayed with the nation. How are you going to have unity with somebody who says that it's not wajib for the Muslim woman to cover herself? That's what Wallace A. Muhammad says. How are you going to have unity with someone who says Frederick Douglass, Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman is in paradise? How are you going to have unity with someone who says that riba is halal in America because it's America? How are you going to have unity with somebody like that? No. You unify with them when they want to return to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. And our only association with them should be for the purpose of da'wah. That's it. We love them because they're Muslims, but we hate them because of their deviance. We hate their deviance. We're not saying they're kuffar, but we hate their deviance, and we have to call a spade a spade. We can't get around it, because if we don't make the distinction, then Shaitan might whisper to us, and we might become lax and fall into the things that they have fallen into. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all.
Jazakallah khairan. Just one last written question, and then we will immediately move to the floor to entertain the questions coming from the floor. This question says, you said yesterday that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith most of us are familiar with, "Man tashadda biqawmin fahuwa minhum," which is translated as follows, "Whomsoever imitates the people are of them." Can we use this to dress like, talk like, and walk like, and act like the scholars? Some people who have some knowledge say we shouldn't. We shouldn't try to imitate the scholars as it relates to their personal attributes.
I don't really understand the intent of the person who's asking this question. if they mean by Okay, that's a little clear. Okay. The brother has clarified what he has asked, and he gave an example of, for instance, some of the brothers who involve themselves or associate themselves or go out with the Jamaat al-Tabligh. You'll find them, even if he is a black guy from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, you'll find him now starting to speak with the Pakistani accent, like the Pakistani sheikhs or maulanas that he's traveling with. And I don't want to try to imitate the brothers from Pakistan because they didn't make their accent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them speaking like this, like he created me speaking the last week. So I don't want to seem as though I'm making any mockery. But we find the brothers sometimes doing this, imitating them. And we also find this among some brothers trying to imitate the sheikh from the Arabian Peninsula and from those Arab countries. And so the brother is asking the question, this is they're using this hadith, whoever imitates the people, then he's of them. Is it permissible to use this hadith in this instance? Is that what you're saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is something that's natural from those people, those sheikhs. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them with. And to imitate a person from his natural qualities is something that is not recommended in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if we find that some of those traits are not natural, and they're actually, those scholars are imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this will be virtuous. If it can be proven that what those scholars are doing, their comportment, how they're conducting themselves, is in fact the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we should rush to imitate those ulama and get the byproduct imitation by way of them of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Now, inshallah ta'ala, now we will entertain the questions coming from the floor. Inshallah ta'ala, jazakumullah khairan for all of the questions, and I would like to say that all of them are pertinent and very important. Naam, tafaddal ya akhi.
Naam. Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, the Thanksgiving, if you go back and you check, and there are some books that can, I forget the author's name, some books that gives you the origin of things. And you'll find out that Thanksgiving did not begin with the pilgrims. That Thanksgiving began with that worship of the Greek goddess of agriculture, whose name I have forgotten. Abu Qutb is telling me, and this is why his kunya is Abu Qutb, the possessor of the books, the possessor of the one who likes to read. What is her name again?
Cypheus.
Allahu Akbar. Cypheus. Don't ask me how to spell it. Ask Abu Qutb, inshallah. I forgot how to pronounce his name. It's a Frenchman. It's a French name. I forgot. But the book, The Origin of Extraordinary Things, and he has another one that he wrote. I have this book, but I forgot how to pronounce his name. Now, and he tells you all of these things. All of these things, the origin of, like for instance, the rosary beads. The zikr beads that the Muslims use, which were the rosary beads of the Catholics, and the rosary beads of the Catholics was actually taken from the Indians, the people in ancient India, from those priests there. And he tells you about the wedding ring, how some Muslims put the wedding ring on the right hand, the third finger. This is actually from the kuffar among the Syro-Babylonians, And they used to mix their magic potions when they used to do their witchcraft. They used to mix their magic potions and they used to take this thing. I'm not, you know, we do this means in America, so I'm not trying to do this to the brothers now. I don't think I'm trying to do this to you brothers, right? They used to take this finger right here, this middle finger on the left hand, and they used to stir their magic potions, their serum, with that finger, right? And they believed that that finger had a vein that went over to their heart. So to protect themselves, their heart, from that magic potion, they put a ring on it. And then that ring later on in history was adopted by the Christians, and it symbolized the union of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Muslims not knowing, they put on the same ring, but instead of putting it on the left hand, they put it on the right hand. But the origin of it is kufr and shirk. You see? There's no such thing as a wedding ring in Islam. There's a wedding gift that can be a ring, but there's no such thing as a wedding ring. Wedding rings are from kufr. Alright? So this is something that we should know, and many of these things come from many of the celebrations, the festivities, the habits of the kuffar. Many of them, not all of them, many of them, the origin of them is religious. It's not cultural. Many of them is religious. And Allah knows this.
The brother here had his hand up after the brother. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. The photo, yeah. Wow.
The brother, what do you mean by do away with them? We need to make that clear, I think. Because I see you kind of big, you know. When you say let's do away with them, you know, we on these microphones out here, what the authorities to think we can ready to kill somebody. What do you mean by do away with them? Just leave them alone, you mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, thank you. We gotta be clear, I'm serious. We got some Muslims out here that be trying to get you trapped off. You know, excuse the expression, but you know. Got the Muslims be trying to get you to do the haram, killing people and stuff, you know? The brother's asking the question about the Ahmadiyyan. He said the Ahmadiyyan Muslim. And alhamdulillah, we were patient with the way the brother asked the question. We don't jump all over him and say, Ahmadiyyan Muslim? What do you mean Ahmadiyyan Muslim? They're not Muslim. So because the brother used the terminology, we're patient with the way he asked the question, and then we try to answer the question to the best of our ability. In fact, the brother is asking, do we consider them Muslims or not, or do we consider them Kafirs and just do away with them, meaning leave them alone? And of course, we don't have to do that because the scholars of Islam unanimously have already made takfir on them. They're not Muslim. They're not Muslim. And they're not Muslims for a whole lot of reasons. We can take any one of those reasons and apply it, just one. That they believe in the Prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just that alone makes them kuffar like Louis the Liar Farrakhan. Right? He's a kafir. He's a mushrik. Why? One of the reasons, he believes that Elijah, Emo, we call him for short, he believes that Emo, Elijah Muhammad, was a messenger after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alright? For those people among the brothers who come from other countries who think that Farrakhan is okay. Farrakhan says that Allah is a black man and that Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. All right? The father of Allah, his name is Alfonso. This is what Farrakhan teaches. So all you guys have been tricked. You know, your love for Islam and the unity of the Muslims, Farrakhan teaches that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa makhluq. Makhluq. Allah makhluq. Yaqul, إن الله سبحانه وتعالى خلق من رحم امرأة بيضاء ووالده رجل أسود. This is what Farrakhan is saying for you brothers that don't know. Alright? So, yes, the Qadianis, the Ahmadiyyans, they're kuffar. The scholars have made takfir on them, made them kuffar years ago. Years ago.
Farrakhan said that call them Muslims, they are their brothers and sisters in Islam. I know that they count. I've seen them, I don't want to quote them, I've seen a lot of journals.
They're not our brothers and sisters in Islam. We can't marry their women. Your women can't marry their men. We should not eat their food, meaning eat the meat that they, the animals that they slaughter. Even if they said Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, with the best tajweed. If they get sick, don't visit them. Don't visit them when they're sick, except to tell them to repent and repent from their evil ways and accept the real Islam, and if they die, don't wash their bodies, and don't shroud their bodies, and leave their bodies out to rot. Alright? They are mushrikun, kafirun, a'da'ullah, the enemies of Allah. They're not Muslims. And if you want to have unity with them, then we may have to boycott you too.
Also, there's another question.
This is a real Islam.
Another question from the floor, the brother here, Na'am Yaki, he had his hand up before. I thought it was you, but I saw him from the rear. Could you stand up and make your question, inshallah?
Na'am. Na'am. Extremism of the Christians. A few examples of extremism of the Christians. One of the extremisms of the Christians, as we mentioned, maybe you came a little late, or maybe we didn't elaborate, is their belief that the prophets and messengers of Allah can commit major sins. Like they believe that Nuh, drank liquor, and that Lut, the prophet Lut, had sex with his own daughter. He committed zina with his own daughter. This is some of the things that the Christians believe. And that they're still pious men. They're still religious men endowed with the revelation, divine revelation from Allah. And that also they make halal what Allah has made haram. And they make haram what Allah has made halal. They make khamr halal. They make khanzir, pork halal. There's a lot of extremism with them. And of course, the biggest one is that they ascribe divinity to something other than Allah, by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son and has a mother. And this is the most extreme, of course, of their extremism. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make us of them. Amen. How to talk to them about the three in one? Just ask them to, when you talk to them, ask them to come to a common agreement between you and them on the reality of the nature of Allah. Just talk about the nature of Allah. Do you agree that Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is one? Yes, I believe. Do you believe that he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped? Yes, I believe that. Do you believe he has no beginning and he has no end? Yes, I believe. Dancing and busting rhymes and things like that. You know, doing rap. You know, doing gangster rap. You wouldn't expect that. Right? You wouldn't expect the Pope to come in and start doing things like that, right? But he has the ability to do it. Right? The Pope has the ability to do that. You know? He might have the ability to bust a few rhymes too, right? But he knows all those languages, right? But he's not going to do it. Why? It's because it's not befitting his status. It's not befitting his level in society among the religious people. He's the Pope. So how much more Allah taking a son, taking a mother, the one whose womb he was in, he created her? Think about that. You tell the Christians, the one who created you and created everything, he was in the womb of someone who he created? This doesn't make sense. So, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a guiding light for the kuffar, to guide them to Islam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make us a fitna for the kuffar also. To not make us a fitna for the kuffar, like Allah mentions in the Quran.
InshaAllah ta'ala, I must admit, sadly, unfortunately, our clue that we received in the rear from our brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, has indicated that we have gone slightly beyond the point, that doesn't work. InshaAllah ta'ala, I believe right now we're waiting for our beloved brother, Abu Usama al-Zahabi, inshaAllah ta'ala, who will also entertain another segment. So, alhamdulillah, jazakumullah khairan for all of your questions. We regret that unfortunately we were not able to answer all of them.
And I would like to, please excuse me, I got rolling on this topic, and sometimes I slip and I use terminologies that maybe some of the brothers from the other countries, they don't understand, like Boston Rhymes and things like that. The other brothers from America, they understand, and I apologize, but I would like to say, in conclusion, that now you brothers, you Indo-Pakistani brothers, you Arab brothers, now you know how we feel when the sheikhs are speaking Arabic and we don't understand what they're saying and everybody's laughing. All right? So when I said the Pope is busting lines, now the brothers going to, the Pakistani brothers, the Arab brothers, are going to leave to the other, busting lines? What does he mean? Busting lines. So, you know, inshallah, may Allah forgive me and for my inability to recite the ayat of Allah's book properly. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا